This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Back live in our Half Street studios, just a few blocks from Nationals Park, sponsored exclusively by the law firm Kondorian Murad. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. The Rood Guest Hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, is where we find a fellow hit one of the biggest home runs in the history of Nationals Park. It's our show, Best Friend Forever, BFF Totes, the three best friends that anyone could ever have. Jason Wirth, who's getting ready for the Kentucky Derby.
Let's go.
With his horse, Flying Mohawk. We're 2 days away from the Derby. Jason, what's up? How are you, man?
I'm good. We might as well make it the four best friends because I brought Sean Kelly with me. I know you guys got, he's got a bone to pick with you guys. So I figured I'd just bring him. Him out right now and we guys can get it over with. And then we can talk about horse race.
Oh, what a heel turn.
Sean, did you get
what
your
a swerve.
Boots?
Oh, what a
you
swerve.
Know, you know, my boots got poopy yesterday on the track, so I'm ready for my new boots.
Hey, did you get the ones we sent?
We sent them.
We put them in the nice package.
They must still be in the mail.
Bro, what's up?
You sent them USPS, so you never send anything that, USPS.
Yeah, that's
that was our fault. I think it's to an old address.
Kelly, I've been listening to the pod, bro. You guys are doing big things.
Good. Just enjoying this ride and trying to get the podcast going. You know, we're trying to be media like you guys.
Media.
Well, you guys are, they call it new media.
New
I
media.
Believe. Yes.
Yes.
We're the old guard.
Sean,
I have never seen you happier than, I think it was the Ruby Stakes, right? Where Flying Mohawk gets the second place that's needed to get to the Derby. I thought you were about to just pick Wirth up like a WWE wrestler over your head and slam him down.
It's kind of like when you're in the bullpen and you watch the real players do the work, and then you cheer and you get excited and you get the ring. You know, that's kind of what I'm doing.
Awesome.
So well, if you guys are watching the podcast, you must be watching it by yourselves with no kids in the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
My children.
I've had hit the pause button a couple times.
My children are not allowed to enjoy your podcast. Tell people where they can listen to it, by the way, Jason.
Well, we've got some interest in some sponsorships, and you know, we might be going corporate soon, so we'll have to clean it up a little bit.
Oh, you're selling out?
You sellouts.
Let's go. I mean, come on. We were having
media.
Fun.
Of course we're sellouts. 2020.
No more cursing. The stories get edited a little bit, but at least we go mainstream. That's what we want, right?
Bingo.
All right. J-Dub, I want to talk about Flying Mohawk. So everywhere I look, I'm like trying to get information on this horse. Nobody's talking about this horse. Is he is he one of the bigger underdogs, or why is he not getting love?
Yeah, I mean, let's keep it right there. Let's not tell anybody. We'll get a good price on him. Look, he's come through the Jeff Ruby. He's a turf horse, ran on synthetic, ran all right. But you know, if you look on the numbers, on the figures, you know, he's definitely at a disadvantage. But turf horses, poly horses, they don't run as big a numbers. So we don't actually know how he's going to do on Saturday. We have no idea how he's going to run on dirt. First time we've ran on dirt. But look, you know, life's about opportunities. This jockey that we're running on him was almost died in a bad motorcycle accident about 15, 18 months ago. And he's, you know, he rode on him at the Ruby, got him in the Derby. Who am I to tell this jockey and this horse that they aren't invited? We're going to run a different race. There's a million-dollar turf race we could run him in, But, you know, you never know how they're going to run in that either. So why not take the shot in the Derby? You know, I keep saying that we'll never be back here, but here we are back 2 years in a row. And, look, I've been an underdog for my whole life and done things I never should have. And why not just take a shot at the Derby with a $70,000 turf horse? Seems to be about right.
Jason Wirth, our guy Sean Kelly, getting ready for the Kentucky Derby in 2 days. The horse is Flying Mohawk. So Nats fans, that's who you're going to want to be back in here in the Derby. I think 30-1 odds I saw on FanDuel.
Yeah, a few horses are. He's one of them.
This morning. I saw the interview you did with the jockey. It's an amazing story. You just kind of went through it, but the kid almost died. And you mentioned keeping him on the horse. So do you have a choice then? Like when you get into the Derby, could you call up some legendary jockey and throw him on the horse and say, you go compete for us? And you just stuck with this kid anyway?
Yeah, no, I'm giving him his chance, man. We're giving him his opportunity. I got my opportunity when two guys got hurt in 2007. Michael Bourne, Shane Victorino went down, and Pat Gillick, you know, he could have trained for somebody, but he said, I'm giving you your chance. And, I didn't come off the field for like 10 years after that. So I'm all about, you know, giving people opportunities if they deserve it. This kid deserves it. He rides with his hair on fire. You know, he's fearless. And he thinks he can be the best rider in the world, and I love that about him. But he got the job done. He got us here. So who am I to go against him? Flavian Pratt is available, one of the top jockeys in the world right now. But I don't think it's right. We're riding with our guy Joey Ramos.
Yeah, dancing with the guy that brung you. Let me ask you this: I know nothing. I'm a total ignoramus when it comes to this sort of thing. What would successful be in a Derby run? Like, you're obviously, it's already an amazing story that you're here. Like, what do you guys go, you know what, this is above the line and versus below where you'd be disappointed?
Well, look, I'm just one of those psychopaths that thinks you can always win. So I'm looking at him to win the race. I'll have him singled in all the pick threes, fours, and fives. Obviously, I'll make some other bets to cover it in case he doesn't win. But I think the horse can run all day. Whether or not he likes the dirt when it comes down to it, we won't know till the gates open. But I know Joey's going to be riding him hard. He's going to have a late run to him with that long stretch at Churchill. Anything can happen. There's going to be a lot of pace in the race, which means it's going to be hot up front. The horse is going to be running fast, which is what we want. If it rains, it'll be a sloppy track. That'll help us out. So a lot of things got to go your way to win the Derby, no doubt. But, the favorites don't win this race most of the time. So anything can go, and it typically does. And we're here, we're live, and we'll be freaking out. And hopefully, no one passes out before the race. Including Sean.
Yeah, well, Sean, I guess you got to watch. Are you going Seersucker on Saturday? What are you going to be wearing?
We've all got a little bit of a neon theme because I don't know if you've seen this, but his colors are pretty bright. So
one sponsor we do have is Sir Mazur, suit maker. They made us suits for the Oaks and Derby. We're hosting the SI Club at Churchill on Friday and Saturday. Friday's Livy Dunn, and Saturday's me and Sean. So if you're looking for a place to hang out on Derby Day,
wait, Libby Dunn's at your party, or is she just throwing a party in the same place the day before?
No, we're at the SI Club. She's, you know, the Oaks is on Friday is the girls' race, right? It's a pink themed day, and Libby Dunn's the ambassador for Sports Illustrated at the SI Club on Friday, and we are on Saturday.
Just incredibly attractive people in the same place, just on different days.
Right, very similar.
That's what it is.
You guys aren't. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't take it personally if I told you I'd rather go to the Friday party, would you?
Well, when you buy tickets, you get Friday and Saturday.
Oh, then I'll be there. No problem.
I get the math. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I get sized for Sean Kelly.
We're Sean Kelly guys. But
let's tell some old good old Matt Williams stories at the Kentucky Derby. But I got to meet Livy first. That's all.
We get it. That's what it's all about. Hey, I don't know if you saw the promo, but they put out a flyer to announce it, and there was a picture of her, and then there was a picture of me.
Yep.
If you haven't seen it, it's worth finding because, of all the pictures that they could have found of me, they picked, like, I don't know, maybe the most scariest.
That's like, great.
I think what he's trying to say is most people are trying to just get one day tickets on Friday.
Yeah, I get that. This
I thought they were trying to promote the deal.
How about Race for the Crown? So, Danny, are you up on this?
No. No
so
file.
This Netflix series.
Oh, come on, Danny, get it together.
Sorry, I was just looking up the picture. Jason, you're right. It looks like like the caption should read Jason Wirth before a crime. Like, look at like so. Look, see, there's Livia Dunn. I'm just showing Grant Livia Dunn first.
I'm very familiar with her work.
Now
yes.
look at Jason.
You're sick.
Jason. You're sick. No, I'm a big LSU gymnastics guy. You creep.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, exactly. I was a gymnast. You wouldn't know now, but it was. Back when I played.
Uneven bars, you know.
Jason, that looks like while he was driving on that road really fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right after, actually. Right after I got the gun pointed at me.
It was right after you told the cop you played for the Nats, and he said he didn't care.
Yeah.
Just cosplaying as a vampire on that thing. That's tough.
You get grumpy when you get held at gunpoint.
It's just not the same. I've actually had one of those experiences. We should share some stories. Mine, though, was I came out of a Chipotle. That was my crime. And they thought that I stole my car that I didn't steal. It was my vehicle. And there were several officers of the law there that thought I was a really bad guy, I will say.
Surrounded.
I thought you're going somewhere with, like, coming out of a LSU gymnast meet. But you got a different direction.
No, I was not on the LSU gymnastics.
I had these binoculars from a tree.
Right. Not at that time. But, Danny, Race for the Crown. So this is literally the thing you and I love.
Yes.
It's Netflix. Behind-the-scenes access about things that we tangentially know, you know, nothing about, but mm-hmm. watch from afar, and you learn so much. Wirth's involved in this. It's all about the horse racing industry and the
that's awesome
lead up to the Derby. It's very, very good. Were cameras around you constantly? What was that like? Was that intrusive?
So going into it, you sign this waiver, which basically you sign your life away. And then they have cameras all around. They have mics on you. You gloss over it because you don't know what they're going to use or how it's going to be shot. But like the reality of it is like if the horse doesn't win one of the races, like as soon as the race is over, they come get the stuff off you and like all that stuff gets erased because it's they shoot it fast paced. It's got to be focused on the winner. So at the Belmont, there was a different crew that wasn't even Netflix that was on us. And so they shared that footage and it was a group that definitely less known than Box to Box. So, there's always cameras around the races for the owners. Not that big a deal. We're used to having cameras on us or whatever, but, at the end of the day, when it came on at like 3 AM, they released it like 3 AM Eastern. And going into it, like I was fairly nervous as what they were going to use or how they were going to portray us because they can make you look however they want. So after set our alarms, we got up 3 o'clock. We watched it, and after the first two episodes, Julie and I looked at each other. We're like, "Oh my god, they're gonna crush us." if you watch the show after the first two episodes, you're like, "These people are idiots. Like, what is wrong with these people in horse racing?" So. We were definitely very pleased with how it came out. They took care of us. Fortunately for us, we aren't like some of those other people in the sport, and we do know how to celebrate though. And that was captured, which was pretty cool. Sean's part of the cameo in it when he says F those glasses right mm-hmm. right in the camera's face. That got left off, and it was amazing experience. It was. Once in a lifetime deal to win a race like that, a Triple Crown race, and then to have the cameras there to capture it. We're just lucky. I mean, I looking back on it, we were like, oh, we might actually make the documentary now that we won a big race. So it was never like, we were never going into it thinking that we were actually being the show, right? Because you have to win big race. But it was pretty cool. I thought it was good. You guys enjoy it? Or
I'm midway through it. I've loved it. But this is my favorite thing. We talk about this on the show all the time. Like I don't really watch a ton of golf, but with Full Swing, I'm all in. Or F1.
Yeah, I don't watch Formula One, but that documentary is incredible.
Like whatever this genre is, was made for me. I'm a Hard Knocks guy, and I just want the behind the scenes. But you guys got to check it out. It's 6 episodes. It's all available to binge right now on Netflix, leading up to the Derby, Race for the Crown. So you mentioned you're 2 years in a row in the unlikeliness of that. give me, can you explain just how insane this is? I remember talking to someone, a guest we had on before the Derby last year, and they were basically saying, like, this was a once-in-a-lifetime thing for you guys to be there, and now you're there this year. And what is the difference? Did you own more of that horse or this horse, or, like, what is the deal there?
Yeah, I mean, I was a minority owner in Dornick. I owned 10%, and, you know, people run their mouths and talk smack on social media and say, what an idiot. This guy owns 10% of Dornick and acts like he owns the whole thing. And I'm like, yeah, like, well, what percentage did you own? And, like, I don't – 10% was enough. I felt like I owned the whole thing.
I mean, dude, if I own 10% of a horse that's competing in the Derby, you're going to think I own the whole damn thing.
Yeah, I'll be obnoxious.
I'm not sorry, but this year it's a little bit different. I own 50% of Flying Mohawk, so – I'm the majority owner. It's kind of my show. I'm getting all the, I've got the limo from Churchill. I've got all the paddock passes, the pins and it's pretty much however I want to do it. But I only got two other partners in this, Jeff Berry, former baseball CAA agent, and Sean Coletta. So we got a tight group. We all get along well, and the sport is all about who you do it with, and that'll be the cool part on Saturday. We'll all be together in the owner suite and cheering on Flying Mohawk at a big price, probably 30-1 right now. We'll see what happens after Sean gets done betting him. He'll probably bet him down. him and Scherzer will have some money on him.
I'll put my reliever money on him, and Scherzer's going to move the whole line when he comes in.
Yep. Is Max coming to the Derby?
No, he's trying to play baseball still at age 50 or whatever.
Poor Maxie. Like, yeah, he's not on the mound as much as we'd like.
His full legal name has been changed to Max Scherzer IL.
Wow.
Well, look, if you could trick a team into paying you $15 million, you'd do it too.
100%. I'll do it right now.
Trick a team. My guy was nasty when he was healthy. You guys are both being too harsh.
He's a Hall of Famer, but he's hurt now.
No, you can't take.
I mentioned this a couple answers ago, but what are the other owners think of you guys? When you think of a horse owner, you know, I don't think of Jason Worth respectfully. I think of, like, you know,
J-Dub's whole point.
And that's kind of the bit, right?
Yeah, he's breaking the wall down.
What's the reaction been to you guys?
But who cares? That's our whole point. That's why we started Icon Race, and Sean and I, we got a podcast. We're bringing new owners into the sport. We're crowdfunding. We raised $3 million last year and at a $100,000 clip. Anybody can come in, own horses, and compete with the big dogs. I mean, yeah, we're up against the Sheiks of Dubai and the Mike Rapolis and the billionaires of the world. But, you know, when you get drafted as a first rounder or a 50th rounder, when you get on the field in A ball, no one cares where you were drafted or what they got paid. You're all the same, you know, the same level. And that's how horse racing is. This is your chance to compete against the billionaires of the world.
You guys raised $3 million, by the way. And that was before you even asked me and Danny for money. So imagine how much you'll have now.
Tens of dollars.
We're not that poor. But we may not be for everyone. We're different. They all want a little piece of the fun that we have. So hopefully we change that energy up.
Sean, you're a Louisville guy. I remember you were a big Lamar Jackson fan back when you won that bet and we sent you those boots right away. You may remember.
Yeah, any day you're getting them.
What color are those?
Yeah, I don't know what color they are.
You wearing those today, by the way? Are you going to wear them to the Derby? You let us know.
No, I've got my other ones on. They're all muddy.
You got some really nice ones, nice boots on right now.
Yeah. Those are ours. Those are the ones we sent.
The ones we sent them to, by the way. Like, yeah, I thought they were gorgeous.
Brown or tan, depends on how the light hits them.
The light.
Do the light when it gets there?
Yeah.
The sun?
But you're a Louisville guy.
Ostrich? Are they the ostrich skins one?
What, is that the nicest one, Jason? That's the nicest one, right?
It's up there.
Top of the line.
Yeah. Right. Then those are the ones we sent him for sure.
There was some rhino involved for some reason.
They were made out of a flamingo and dinosaur. It was pretty cool.
Rhino ass. You got the rhino ass.
Yeah.
Were you always a horse racing guy, or is this just like, you know, your guy Jason's involved and you're going to support his horse? Like, what's your background?
Well, to be honest, you can't grow up in Louisville and not kind of know what's going on and kind of pay attention more than anybody else. But I mean, I wasn't crazy into it. To me, this is all stuff. Even growing up here and playing in the big leagues is just not real. Like, you don't do this unless you're a billionaire. You've got a million horses or born into it. So, for me to be able to be on this ride with Jason and be his hype man and make those cameos on Netflix, cheering him on is an unbelievable ride for me as well.
It never dawned on me, Danny, but maybe this is all Kelly's fault. He could have built the bridge all these years. He was coming in studio. He's our guy. He's mm-hmm. Jason's guy. But there was
he could have been the ambassador between the two warring nations.
Why didn't you bring the two countries together? You had years to do it. You know, to end this
opportunity
feud.
Lost, guys. You can't go back. You guys had your chance.
The
you
amount of
it.
Great segments we missed out on is
unbelievable.
You guys thought
I was somebody that I wasn't. You ran your mouths one too many times.
Oh, come
John
on.
Tried to cover it up, but hey, here we are, old friends now.
Ask him what he thinks of his critics.
I already know where
we heard that publicly.
Him.
Yeah.
The only thing that was missing during that was when he said, Grant and Danny can, instead of...
If you knew our names, you would have.
Yeah. That, although, I would have... let's be honest. That would have been so much better.
That would have been the greatest promo of all time for us.
Open,
yeah.
You know? Like,
I've been in the news lately, again, for, you know, obviously for the horse racing deal, Flying Mohawk, but I've been... maybe hypercritical of the New York Mets. Have you guys followed any of this stuff?
I've
said some things that have riled up the Mets fan base once again.
You know, we've been on the wrong end of that fan base's anguish a couple of times. They're very loud and annoying.
Yeah,
we all agree on that.
I thought it'd be funny because Mike Rapoli, he's a Mets fan. He's one of the biggest owners of the sport. He's a a big rival of mine, obviously, in this sport. He runs the Mets colors. He was on the Netflix documentary. You might have seen it. He's from Mike from Queens. I thought it'd be funny to start taking shots at the Mets just for fun. Now people, I'm getting death threats again.
Now the death threats.
Here come the death threats by the Mets fans. But it's all good. I just figured maybe they could take a joke, because like they kind of are a joke. So it's like maybe they can take jokes. I don't know.
But let's be honest. You played for the Nats. You played for the Phillies. You don't buy many drinks in those towns. You don't care what Mets fans think.
No. It's just fun that, there's not really many rivalries in horse racing. It's fun to ruffle some feathers and get Mike Rapoli all fired up. He hasn't even seen my comments yet. I don't even know if he cares. He's got other things to worry about. I know he's busy drinking vitamin water. I don't know. But we drew the post next to him in the race. So our suite is right next to his. And it's like there's like this little brick wall in the chairs, the sofas kind of line up next to each other. So your heads are right next to each other. So like we won't be but 3 feet apart all Saturday. It should make for some good banter and good times. We need to liven the sport up of horse racing. I think it's the greatest sport in the world. It's awesome sport for retired athletes. We started Icon Racing to bridge the gap and bring new owners into the sport. And it can just be an unbelievable experience. I never thought we'd be here, back to back 2 years in a row in the Kentucky Derby, but here we are.
It's amazing.
And moving forward, we got Icon Racing and iconracing.com. Check us out.
All right. So I got a dumb horse racing question before we let you go then. I've heard you guys talk on the pod about like the post position, and there are certain ones I feel like that either you can't win from or that are really bad. So what did you guys draw? I guess it sounds like that's already happened. And what's good and bad there? Like what did you draw?
You're really up to date on this horse racing thing. So on last Saturday, they did the draw. They did done it for the last 150 years. And we drew post 11.
Okay.
And kind of going into it, we didn't want to be too close to the rail. We would be too far outside. So I think 14 is what my trainer said. But since we're doing this Club SI ambassador deal, I think it's 1 through 13 have access into the SI club. And then 14 through 20 have access into the paddock club. So if we would have drawn 14 to 20, all of our people would have been on another side of the track, pretty much. Not the track, but the paddock. So I was hoping for like 13 to like maybe 7. So 11 was right in the middle of that. So I think we drew a good post. It's going to be a good time. We got all my family and friends are coming. I tell people, in professional sports, you win with your teammates. You win and lose with your teammates. You do it on the field with the guys that you have to be around. You make it work. And then if you win at the highest level or any level, you wave to your family and friends up in their seats, up in the booth, whatever it is. And then later, you meet them in the tunnel for a moment, and you try to recreate you know, that moment of you know, of winning and just the joys of all that. But the moment's lost, right? It's 15, 20 minutes go by. In horse racing, you win and lose with your favorite people, your friends, your family, your kids, your parents. And it creates a bond, everlasting experiences, unlike any other sport. And that's what's cool about horse racing. And that's what we're offering with Icon Racing.
Well, it's going to be cool.
It's awesome,
we're going to be rooting for you. Flying Mohawk. I'm sure there will be, it's going to be a heck of a party. I hope it's a lot of Nats showing up and hanging out. I'm sure you'll have the VIP list. I saw you had Matt Williams on it. So he'll be there, I'm sure.
He'll be there.
He's going to be front and center. And then C.B. Buckner's on the list, which I didn't see coming either. So it's quite a list you put together, J-Dub. Yeah.
That one got me.
Well, you know what? Let's let bygones be bygones. And,
he's ready
for
the weekend.
We've moved on to horse racing. I'm even on your show. It's like the third or fourth time I've come on your show. You guys, get Matt on here.
Oh, that's a great idea.
We'll try to make that happen.
You know what? That's a great bit. We're going
to
work on that.
I've got my MARGA hat on right now. I'm here to make horse racing great again. Let's do it.
All right, I'm going to get a Flying Mohawk hat. I won't get it in time for the race, I guess, but I'm gonna have to support. All right, now, how does that work?
Jackson's got he's got a website. He's slinging merch.
There we go.
Flyingmohawk.com. We'll have some stuff up on our website, iconracing.com, going forward. Yeah, man, let's get you guys maybe up to the Preakness if we end up there.
Hell yeah. If you guys are in the Preakness, we'll see you there. Sean, we miss you, buddy. Be good.
See you, boys.
Miss you guys, too. Thank you. All right, guys. Thank you.
The boots, by the way, I just checked. They should be delivered like noon tomorrow, so you'll have them in time.
Got you.
You'll have them.
Great PM, right?
Our guy, Sean Kelly.
From those tan ostriches.
And our guy, Jason Wirth. A Kentucky Derby. How about that? Flying Mohawk. 2 days away.
Man. First of all, what a ride we just went on.
That was
a lot of things happened.
Didn't see Sean Kelly joining us there.
We didn't have that in the office pool.
No.
We know the dump button works, so we're good there. Good. That was a good test
and
everything.
We had two bad words
in
25
nice.
Minutes with the lads.
That's not bad.
Grant and Danny with you. We're blitzing at 4 o'clock on The Fan. So what do we need to do to get Flying Mohawk to get to the Preakness? Because it sounds like we're invited to the Preakness in the owner's suite if we can get that horse to the Baltimore race. Does he have to place at the Derby?
I mean, you may as well ask me how to do calculus. I mean, I got no idea.
We got to ask Rick Snyder. Ask our guy Rick Snyder. Hit up Rick.
Don't tell him I'm asking. Just one of you guys.
Well, I'll ask him.
Yeah, there you go.
The Flying Mohawk gear is silly, though. I just love it. It's like a black hat with basically just a super green, like neon horse with a mohawk. I'm in. 30-1. Can I get you to hop on FanDuel this weekend, Danny, and support a pal and put a couple shekels down on Flying Mohawk?
Does that help? I don't know if it helps.
But that certainly doesn't help.
Yeah, it doesn't help the horse go faster.
But it makes you have a little more fun, and you're rallying behind J-Dub's horse.
This might be the first Kentucky Derby I watch or have watched in decades.
Oh, are you out on the Derby? I forgot this.
Total waste of time.
So you're doing the Masters thing? What would you rather do? Watch the Derby or watch the Masters?
That's hard.
Is your animus toward horse racing the same as
similar
golf?
Yeah, similar. But the things that I don't like about the golf coverage are ramped up. It's 77 trillion hours of pageantry. It's dudes with headset on and like, yep, there's dirt on the ground and grass and they're in the paddock now. And then like look at the hats. And like it's so unentertaining and uninteresting to me. And then the race lasts for 17 seconds.
Guy, I love the Derby.
Right. I hate it. But I might watch this one because I have a vet. This is the first time there's any kind of thing that's interesting to me.
You have a friend who owns the horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said we're friends?
Yeah, he did say that.
So, stick aside, though.
Mm-hmm.
You have no interest in the Kentucky Derby?
Never have.
Wow. I am fixated and enamored. I love the coverage. I like the big network feel. I like that NBC brings in all their top dogs like Mike Tirico to anchor everything. The broadcast is immaculate. The high definition is gorgeous. Everything about it, it's covered so well and beautifully, and it's an awesome event.
It's athletes I've never heard of, aka horses, and I've never heard of the people on them. There's nothing for me. Like, if you told me tomorrow, dude, the World Skateboarding Championships are tomorrow, the best in the world, and it's in high definition, and they brought in everybody that's important with the network, I don't know any of the skateboarders are.
Yeah,
it's the same level to me.
There's no history to it. I watched movies about horse racing, you know, throughout my childhood. Seabiscuit was one of the classic films, and there were others. Like, there's no romanticism there's no history behind skateboarding in that way. This was the biggest sport in America for decades. Now, it's granted, back when my grandfather was a teenager.
There's no good TV. Yeah, I mean, but at least there's like human athletes when it comes to skateboarding.
See, I like the fact that it's an animal. I think it's awesome that the horses are kind of the star.
Yeah, I can't buy a horse's jersey. I guess I can buy a t-shirt of Flying Mohawk.
Dude, I'm going to get you a Flying Mohawk hat.
I'm good. You buy it for yourself. I can't get interested. Just can't get invested. To say that I've tried is disingenuous, but it holds no appeal to me. It never has.
1 to 10. One, you could never watch 1 minute of Derby coverage again and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
10, you will watch the majority of it. You'll have people over. You'll dress up and do mint juleps. Mm-hmm. What is your interest in a Derby?
One. That's without this.
I think I am a normally 8.5. We've never done the party, but I'd love to do one.
Mm-hmm.
With this, 10 out of 10. Flying Mohawk is my guy. I'm all in. What about you, Dad? Horse racing guy? Kentucky Derby guy? Yay or nay?
Absolutely no interest at all.
In the Derby?
Horse racing at all in general. I have no interest in ever watching it.
Will you watch it knowing that Jason Wirth's horse, Flying Mohawk, is in the mix this weekend?
So, no.
You're still not interested?
That's where
It's not interesting to me watching horses run a track.
Have you ever watched the Kentucky Derby?
No. Mm-mm.
I think you'd like it.
I don't think I would.
I don't think you would.
No, here's why. You're a broadcast guy. You're a play-by-play guy. You enjoy the pageantry of sport. I'm telling you, there is a romanticism to the event that you would like. There's dudes wearing these strange outfits playing strange instruments.
I will say I do appreciate the broadcast element of it. The guys making that the call of the race.
Also,
that's incredible.
It's like an incredible 90 skill. Person NBC telecast that day. They have now they're overdoing it with like random celebrities, and they bring in like, I don't know why, Aqib Talib will be there for some reason, like telling me what horse he likes. Like, they do Von Miller bits, and I don't understand why they do that. But I mean, the amount of work, and I think other than a Super Bowl, there's nothing that a network could cover that takes more moving parts, and I am enamored by that.
There's more pageantry per minute of coverage than there is for any other sport, because the actual sport lasts 90 seconds. So what are the things that you hate the most about like an NFL pregame show or any kind of pregame show? Do that for 10 hours. Now you've got the Kentucky Derby.
Just seems excessive.
It's so unwatchable, Clarence, despite all the great personalities.
Kentucky Derby, in or out?
It's one of those things where I'll turn it on if there's nothing else on, but like I'll watch it. It's a minute. It's cool, but I'll never set things aside just to watch.
So you're not going full tough guy, but
no,
you're not.
Like, if I'm at home on my couch and I'm watching a game and I'll get the notification like, oh, the Kentucky Derby's about to start, I'll turn over to the race, watch it for a minute, and be like, oh, cool, this horse run. Turn it back over and watch whatever I was doing. Just,
you guys are not appreciative of like the history of the event.
No.
Nah, not at all.
Like a horse won before and a different horse won before that.
17 million people watched last year. I can't find one guy in the studio right now that watches this thing. Tobes.
I will watch for about a 10-minute window. I'll turn on to see a little bit of the pageantry. I'll watch the race. I'll maybe watch a little bit of the celebration, and then it goes right back off. But I enjoy watching the actual Kentucky Derby race.
You do?
It's so much fun.
So it's an annual staple for you.
Do you need a rooting interest?
No, not at all.
That's what I don't get.
I don't either.
I think it's the biggest reason why I don't watch racing in general. Like, there's no I can't like just pretend to root for a driver or something like that.
That is a difference between you and I as a sports fan, we found.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a rooting interest. Although I will say, I make my own. Like that day, what I'll do tomorrow.
Because you'll bet, right?
I do it every year. I'll bet on a horse. I'll read a bunch of stuff in the morning. I don't know anything about the horses right now. Honestly, for tomorrow, I'll probably make two or three bets on horses that have a chance, and then I'm going to ride with Flying Mohawk. But I'll get on the horn with my family and then my wife's family, and we'll do like dollar a horse. We'll have a pool going, and I will make it fun that way. Mm-hmm. It's just an opportunity to have a little fun. That's what I'll do. But my wheelhouse, like, we won't do this, but what would be awesome is to have people over, do some mint juleps, everybody hangs out, and just a reason to have a little watch party, like a Super Bowl. Do squares at the Super Bowl. We're betting on the ponies. But I just think maybe it's the broadcast nerd. I think the telecast is sick. I think it's awesome. I love, there's 8,000 moving parts, and I'd love to know what's going on in those trucks with the producers and the directors. And
they fill so many hours.
Yeah.
Like
I watch the whole thing, but I watch, like Toby said, he said 10 minutes or so. I'll tune in for 30 or 40. Then my kid needs something. Then I'll come back and I'll do 20 or 30 minutes. And Mike Tirico's telling me the story of the jockey on Worth's horse who literally almost died in a crash.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll get 10, 12 minutes. And then eventually we run this thing. And the 15 minutes before when they start loading up the gates until they run it, until about 5 minutes after, those 20 minutes are a top 10 sporting event of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
Top 10, wow.
I mean,
it's not even top 10 in May for me. Like, not even top 10 on May 3rd.
Grant and Danny, are you guys going to watch the Kentucky Derby? 800-636-1067 is the number. Plus, we got our double play. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Each and every day, we give you a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal in the new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Is it, though?
So good.
It's time for the double play?
We'll play it three times.
So we've been putting this off, Jeeps. My 7-year-old has wanted to go on a Ferris wheel. That's like a thing that he is super excited to do. And his dad is terrified of heights. And that's pretty much nightmare type fuel, right? Just a slow moving car where you're just super high off the ground and oops, this one slowed down to a grinding halt and you're just up there. We'll get some maintenance on it after a while. Or every movie, like, you know, Spider-Man, No Way to Homecoming, Home, Coming Home, No Way Home. There's always like some sort of incident and there's no superhero to save you. So I'm terrified of it. I don't really want to do it, but we got to do it because it's what the kid wants for his birthday. So at one point, the wife and I were going to go like to some amusement park or somewhere in Pennsylvania and like leave the other kids with like my mother-in-law. We're going to figure out what we're going to do. Yes, that, no. But now it looks like at some point in the not-too-distant future when there are no sporting events, we're just going to go to National Brendan Darber and we'll go to that Ferris wheel there.
I was going
to
say, there's one right there.
I know.
But across the river.
So it went from, I want to go to a full amusement park, and it's like, well, there's not many rides you can ride as a kind of a little fella.
There's also not Ferris wheels at many amusement parks, are there?
Yeah, but the ones that there were, we were looking to take these long road trips, and it was going to be a big Robert hassle. But it looks like that's just what we're going to do. So I think we're going to do like an overnight hotel with him, kind of like a staycation type deal, and get up and go to the Ferris wheel. And that'll be our big to-do, and then we'll head home.
And that's for the birthday?
That's one of the things he wanted for his birthday. Was to go on a Ferris wheel. Because it went from a music park with a bunch of rides.
Yeah.
And we tried to gently tell him, like, hey, bud. We had to bait him.
When is his birthday?
I mean, it already happened.
It's just a random thing. It's not a birthday.
No, it's for his birthday. This was the present we're going to get you.
Gotcha.
It was listed as, go to an amusement park. And then it morphed to, just want a Ferris wheel.
So we're doing a hotel and a Ferris wheel. That is a wacky bit, you can acknowledge.
Yeah, it's 100% wacky. Everything about it's wacky.
What do you want? I want a hotel and a Ferris wheel.
Yeah. So,
is it all of you guys or just you?
Just so it's like we're trying to do a thing where, you know, because there's so many kids now, there's too many. But this is your special thing, buddy. So you get full attention, mom and dad, whatever you want to do, and this is what we're going to do. But again, I keep trying to explain to them, the amusement park's not really going to be an amusement park for you because you can't go on any of the rides because you're too small. You're trying to gently say that to them, but the Ferris wheel's got no requirements, and we're going to sit in one of these terrifying swing cars.
But do you have to do it?
Yeah, it's part of the present.
Is that you have to do it?
Yes, that me.
I don't know, man. That's not for me.
It's not for me.
That's
for him.
That's one of those. Well, but that's not your philosophy generally.
It's like a picture of you from the ground.
Right, exactly. I mean, the Santa Claus thing would be for him, mm-hmm. not for you. We're not doing that.
That's not for him. No. That's for you're wrong. Unequivocally wrong. That's for the parents to get some sort of mythical picture that may or may not take place. For him, it would be to cry. That's not for him.
No. It's for him to go tell Santa what he wants for Christmas to sit on the big fella's lot.
Yeah, it's so a parent can get a picture of that. So, do you remember this? Do you remember this? I don't want to remember that. Terrible screaming, crying.
Well, I'm just not going in the Ferris wheel. So what's next?
What do we do? Okay, what else can we do? I'll give you a ride.
The last thing I would do, I think. What's your level of afraid of heights?
Pretty high.
King's Dominion. Did you ever go up on top of the Eiffel Tower?
No, because the Eiffel Tower was after I kind of stopped going to King's Dominion.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's been there my whole life. That's crazy. Okay, but you would not do that?
No.
You wouldn't go up to the Empire State Building and like walk outside?
I've done it. And I just to say that I did.
Yeah.
I climbed to the top of whatever for a charity event. I can't remember what the name of the stupid tall building was in New York. Not the Empire State Building, but one of the other ones. We did that one. And I did the kind of thing where I got semi-close to the edge just to be able to look out. But if there's any indication of looking down, I can't handle it, man. I've done the top of the Washington Monument. I went to the top of the stupid arch in St. Louis.
I wouldn't do that.
And it moves, by the way, with the wind.
Here's why I opted out of that one. I refuse to do that. It's less, I don't like heights. I've gotten better with them, but mm-hmm. it's not my favorite thing.
Right.
It's like going up very, very high and grabbing onto the railing and looking out. As you said, out's better than over and mm-hmm. down, but yeah. like all of it is uncomfortable and queasy, and I have that feeling in my stomach that I don't want to have. I would say there's a fear of heights. But for me, my claustrophobia is way bigger than that, or just a fear of being caught stuck in something.
Mm-hmm.
And those little carts that you take to the top of you get in what is basically a enclosed golf cart, kind of.
Yep.
And you just ride it for, I asked, how long is this to get up to the top of the arch? They're like, it's about 4 minutes. No, it's not. It is absolutely not that, because I won't be in there. Maybe it is.
It is for somebody.
I'll never know. Also, what if it gets stuck?
Yeah. You're talking about the arch? Anything, really.
Anything that I'm in that's closed, that's mm-hmm. very small. An elevator's tough enough. I try not to think about it. The chances are very slim. But like these little carts that are just click, 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 click all day long on the arch, man-made, built by the lowest bidder, I'm out.
Yeah, if you've ever been to the St. Louis Arch, by the way, it is nubs. But we all did it. We went up to the top of it. And because the whole thing is, obviously, it's an arch. So you can't just go straight up or straight to the side. You do this up and over, up and over, up and over, up and over.
Correct.
And you're just in there for a while. And you don't feel great about it. And you get up the top, and I think I can distress to you. The view is pretty amazing, I suppose, if you're not in a sweaty panic.
Right.
The wind blows, and so do you.
Oh,
in order for it to maintain its structural integrity, the engineers, this is what you have to do for like big buildings or big things like this, that it's got to give a little bit. If it's too like hard and fast, a tornado or something would come through, and it would snap it. And it would fall. So it needs to be able to move a little bit pliable, like a tree in the wind. And it moves when you're up there. And boy, that can swallow a whole bunch of, you know what.
When are you doing this hotel arch thing?
Couple weeks. We're not going to the arch, just a Ferris wheel.
No,
a Bueller.
I said arch.
We're going to the Bueller.
Yeah, to the Ferris wheel.
Why are you doing arch in the movies bits?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Good for you. I would just say no to that. It's nice that you're doing a hotel, because you could just drive in the morning.
I know.
And that would be an easy trip.
Well, we're trying to sell it as like, no, we're going away. This is your amusement park. Because like you can't really do an amusement park.
You don't want to go to King's Dominion and just let him do the stuff that he can do in the kiddie area?
Because he wants a Ferris wheel. See what I'm saying? So like the two part of the Venn diagram, it was like there's one spot in Pennsylvania. I can't remember which one it is. I don't know if it's got some flags or what. I who knows? And then the Ferris wheel. So we're just going to do the Ferris wheel. And the amusement park is National Harbor.
You doing a Ferris wheel. That is fun.
Yeah.
All right. I want a full report. I want a video for 106.7 The Fan.
I don't know if I'll be able to do that. I'll try. I'll hit record and just hold it out the window while I'm sitting there with my eyes closed.
Is it enclosed? I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
See, that's the other part for me. Now, that one is less like you're going to be stuck in there forever. But just the idea of being enclosed for like 9 minutes while it goes in a really slow circle.
I need the closure.
And also, it's probably swaying back and forth a little bit.
Oh, so much swing.
Yeah. I've seen that from the bridge, from the Woodrow Wilson Bridge enough.
Yep.
I'm sure it's fun for somebody, but I'm not that somebody.
You're not that someone.
But happy birthday.
Yay.
That sounds like a great time. Can't wait. The Hootiers. The Beltway Blitz is next on The Fan.